So good morning. It's always great to be here and share with you guys, but it's especially awesome today because we've got seven of our young men and women here confirming their faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, come on. Oh, that's nice. No, this is a party. We're here to celebrate. Yeah, what a great day. So today's gospel text is one of my favorite stories from the life of Jesus. It's a lot like a day in the life kind of thing, which gives us a good look at what Jesus did and why he was doing it. In this story, we see how by keeping his heart set on why he was here, he was able to sift through everything that came his way and truly focus on what was important. I imagine today's story would make a particularly entertaining episode of a reality TV show. You know, I can see the show's commercial already. Try and picture it with me. The smash reality TV hit. 12 men, each from radically different backgrounds, following one man wherever he may go, whatever he may do, in this season of The Messiah. This week on The Messiah, Jesus and the 12 are heading home to see Simon's family. You'll never guess what happens when they get there. Tune in this week. And it would be full of those little asides where different people look into the camera and get a chance to share their perspective and their thoughts on things that are happening as they're going on. The story might go something like this. It starts with everybody heading to Simon's house, where his mother is sick in bed. Jesus comes in and heals her. It's off to a good start. And by taking her by the hand, he helps her to her feet. John turns to the camera. I really wasn't sure what was going to happen when Jesus got here. Peter's mom isn't exactly pleasant when she's sick. We were just hoping things would go smooth. Well, they did, and then some. And soon everyone knew about it, and everyone was showing up. The people of the town nearby started to crowd outside the house, hearing the news, and they brought all the sick, all the possessed out, and the episode gets real interesting as Jesus gets to work. He's healing and casting out demons. This is where they would put, like, the miracle montage. And it's been a long day. Everyone's astonished and exhausted. Fade to black as everyone heads to bed. And as they rise in the morning, there's a huge crowd at the front door, and Jesus is nowhere to be found. Chaos and hilarity clearly ensue as the disciples wander, trying to figure out, what do we do with this crowd, and where is Jesus? They find him, and like the courteous disciples they are, interrupt his prayer, shouting over one another, "Jesus, everybody is here. They've come to see you. You have so much work to do today." And then Jesus replies, "Okay, I think I'm going to go somewhere else. I have other things to do. Roll credits. Check in next week. See what happens in The Messiah." Twitter explodes with 140 character comments. Celebrities are condemning and praising what Jesus has done, all trying to figure out what's coming next. The hashtag #FollowChrist is probably trending, and people are already speculating what is coming next. Jesus' actions are puzzling, but he gives us a peek into his decision-making process. Jesus had priorities. And this begs the question, how do you prioritize your life? Amidst all the things going on in this life, what is your filter system for life? What makes it on the to-do list and what doesn't? How do you decide? So many people in this valley find that their most valuable and often most lacking asset is free time. Schedules open up and then fill up again just as fast. Everything around us grabs for our time and our energy. And we often find ourselves collapsing into bed at the end of the day, wondering where time went, and wondering what we really did with all the time we had. You ever feel like you got your foot on the gas all day, but it felt more like you were spinning your tires than you were actually getting somewhere? Is life full, but not fulfilling? Jesus has the answer. And Jesus is the answer. Think of it like this. You know what empty calories are? You know, from a nutrition standpoint, empty calories are foods that we eat that don't have any nutritional value. They're calories and carbs and fat that aren't accompanied by nutrients that give us life. Do you see where I'm going here? Without priorities, our lives, our schedules gets filled up, but do they fill up with the kind of things we should be doing, or do they just fill up with empty calorie activities? Things that take up our time and make us busy, but don't give us life. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you, you know, three easy steps for finding the meaning of life. Someone already wrote that book, I'm pretty sure. But transformation doesn't come from the pulpit. It comes from the inside out, when God is planting seeds. It starts with the work God's doing in your heart and your soul, and it sprouts from the inside. And maybe as I'm saying this, God is working in you right now, bringing something to mind. He's painting a picture of how things could be. So here's what I want to ask you today. Where is your life heading? Why is it heading there? And do you like the trajectory you're on? In a week, or a month, or a year, or 5 years, if you keep on the same track, will you be any closer to being the kind of person you want to be? Will you be any closer to being the kind of person that God created you to be? Our destination is crucial for setting our course in life. The big picture informs the day-to-day. And so Jesus shows us how in this story, how important it is to be focused on the destination, not to let our lives be consumed on a first-come, first-served basis. Your life and your time and your energy are worth so much more than that. Jesus does not buy into the supremacy of the immediate. Jesus is not a fan of the philosophy that whatever is right in front of you at this moment is naturally the most important thing. He's got a bigger picture. And he stays fixed on the Father. And by doing so, he's able to see the work that God is doing here and now and see that it is greater and grander than what seems to be important here and now. The way we set course in life matters more than any of us could ever know. And if we're not deliberate about what we're doing and why we're doing it, it becomes far too easy to settle for empty calories. You know, you can just pull them out of the freezer and pop them. In the microwave. It's way too easy. It's convenient, but it's not satisfying. It's not life-giving. Why would we settle for empty calories when we could feast on the bread of life? God has so much more in store for you than that. You're meant to be more than just a hamster on a wheel. The value that God puts on your life is far too high to settle for that. So try this out sometimes. Set apart some time and try and see yourself the way God does. Try to look at yourself with the eyes of Jesus. You're imperfect. Maybe you're rough around the edges. If you're anything like me, you mess up way more than you're willing to admit. God knows it all, from top to bottom. But when God looks at you, it's not with anger and disgust and disappointment. It's with love and grace, a deep, deep love. I like to think that God has a sort of Kelley Blue Book. You know, it's that website where you can punch in the make and model and miles and info about your car, and you say how many accidents it's been in, and then you hit enter, and it tells you what the car is worth, and it's always worth way less than you expect. So I like to think that God's got this Kelley Blue Book, but it's for people. And he punches in your name and your age and how many miles you've gone and where you've been and what you've done and all the accidents and the fender benders along the way. And you know what shows up when he hits enter? It's Jesus. Because that's what you're worth. Jesus is what you're worth to God. He didn't think that his son was too high a price to pay to rebuild and to recover the relationship that we could have with him. And that's why Jesus came. That's why he was here. So when Jesus says, "Let's go, I got something else to do," that's what he's talking about. He's here to tell the whole world, to tell you and me here today, and everyone who's ever lived, the deep depths and the staggering heights of God's love for us. And the disciples on their journey with Jesus, I like to think that they kind of felt like, you know, little kids in the backseat on a road trip. Jesus is teaching with power, and he's confronting the authorities. That's so awesome. Are we there yet? No. He's standing up for the oppressed, and he's healing the sick. He's doing miracles and casting out demons. We must be there now. But Jesus says, "No, not yet. But trust me, you'll know when we're there." So where are you today? And what's your life all about? God is inviting you on a journey, one that will both fill you up and leave you satisfied, full and fulfilled, and filled with life, eternal life. God's taking you on a journey that will shape you and that will mold you and transform you to be more and more like Jesus. Our destination and our journey is discipleship, to follow Christ wherever he would go, whatever he may do. And it starts with today, knowing where are you today? And where are you heading tomorrow? Each of our days can be filled with real, practical steps to help us grow closer and closer to Christ. So what's the step you're going to take today? And tomorrow, and this week? To cut out empty calories and start filling yourself up with the bread of life. You can start with prayer each day. Pray for God to show you what he has in store for you. Pray that God would guide you in his path. He doesn't just want you to clear your schedule and, "Oh, I'm going to quit everything and I'm just going to pray all the time and I'm going to read the Bible all the time and read spiritual books and it's great." That's what God wants. No. He looks at your schedule and he says, "I want to do that with you. I want to be there too." He wants to lead you into the things that he has planned. And he wants you to trust him and to follow. He wants you to make the most of the life that you have, the opportunities that you have, the relationships that you have, by following him all along the way. Pray that God would take hold of your life, from the big picture down to the morning trip to Starbucks, and fill it with purpose so that they wouldn't just be empty calorie activities. Now, as I close, I want to give you a word of warning. When you start giving your days to God, when you start giving your life to God, not just in a big abstract way, but in a real day-to-day and hour-to-hour kind of way, God shows up and things happen. Amazing and beautiful and unforeseen things. The disciples learned this full well in our story today. You think they had any idea where Jesus was taking that ship when they showed up? I don't think so. I don't know if they would have signed up if they had an idea. But they were there and they followed. And when you pray, God, be with me at work today, it becomes take God to work day. He shows up. When you pray, God, be with me in the little things, in all the small stuff, the God and creator of the universe comes down and sits with you for coffee, and he's there while you're eating breakfast and on the drive to work and as you're working on homework. Nothing's too big and nothing's too small for God to desire to show up if only you would invite him in. He works with the small stuff. But here's the warning. If you like boring, don't ask God to show up, because he ruins that. God's plan for us is not just to be alive. His plan is life to the fullest. He doesn't just want us to be full. He wants us to be fulfilled. Pray with me. Dear God, we thank you that you care about our lives, that you love us, and that you sent your Son into this world so that we could have a relationship with you. God, we offer our lives to you. We welcome you in, and we wait with hope and anticipation for the amazing things that you're going to